All right, we're going to continue on the topic of Melach Shein and Tzricha L'Gufa. And we're going to look at the Sugya on Daf Ayin Hey, very famous Sugya, focusing on Rashi. The Gemara establishes that Hatzad Chilazon Vapotzo Eino Chayev Ela Achas. So he captured a Chilazon and he's Chayev for Meleches Tzedah. Lafuke Meleches Disha because Ein Dishel Begdui Kark. And then the Gemara says V'lechayev Nami Mishum Netilas Neshama. He takes the life of the Chilazon. So Rava says that even though he captured this Chilazon alive, now the Chilazon is dead, but nevertheless he's not Chayav Mishum Netilas Neshama. The Gemara calls it Misasik. We'll see what that word means here in a minute. So the Gemara asks, for Abaye, for Rav, the Amri Chavaya, Modar of Shimon, the Psikresha, Velo Yamus. It's not Misasek, you know, he's capturing the Chilazon, and the Chilazon out of the water is going to die. There's no question about it. So that's called a Psikresha. In other words, the Gemara understands here that the word Misasek really means Dovashaino Miskavin, and the assumption of this Braisa is that he's not Chayav Mishum Meleches Netilas Neshama because it's a Dovashayna Miskavin. The Gemara asks, but what about Psikresha? So the Gemara answers, Shani Hocha de Kama de Isbe Neshama Tvei Nichole. The blood of this Chilazon is redder as long as it's alive. In other words, if you can remove the blood while the creature is still alive, that's beneficial for the dye. It works as a dye. No, well, the word die here means two things, and it means just the opposite. You don't want it to die, so you'll have it die. Okay, anyway. So Rashi says something very amazing here. And this has a tremendous ripple effect through all of Masech Shabbos. And Rashi tells us that when is Reb Shimon Moda that you're chayev for a Dovah Shein Miskaven with a Psik Resha? That's only B'midi d'lo ichpasle, imisrami, it doesn't make any difference to him one way or the other whether it happens or it doesn't happen. But here in the case of Tzad Chilazon Vapotzo, here it's a case of lo nichale. It's not lo ichpasle, but it's lo nichale. Miu ichavne lo mechavin. So if it's a case of lo ich pasle, then according to Rav Shimon Yechayev, because it's a psik resha. So everybody asks the kasha, what about Malach Hashem and Tzricha L'Gufa? In other words, he's not interested in this result. It's lo ich pasle, and if it's lo ich pasle, it's a Malach Hashem and Tzricha L'Gufa. He doesn't need this Malacha. So although Rashi is correct that it could be that if it's low isrami, low ichpasle, misrami, or low isrami, it becomes through a psik resha, a dover shayna miskavin that you're chayav for, it's like a dover miskavin through psik resha, even though he doesn't get any benefits from it, but nevertheless, how could Reb Shimon say in such a case that he's chayav because of psik resha, if it's low ichpasle, it's automatically what? Malacha shayna tzricha legufa. And in fact, Tosus is so bothered by this that he offers another pshat in the sugya. And this you'll see in the third sorcier page. He says, Pirish, what does Gemara mean? Tfei nichole, afal gavda v'psik resha, moda Reb Shimon hocha, the mifter mishum davi malocha shein etzricha legufa. Tosus identifies this case as a malacha sheina tzricha legufa. So even though you have dover sheina miskav with a psik resha, and Rav Shimon should be mechayev midin psik resha, but nevertheless, since he doesn't gain anything, there are no benefits, it's not tzricha legufa. And Rav Shimon holds that Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is pot. Then he quotes Rashi. We'll fast forward a little bit in this Tosfos. V'chi moder Rav Shimon p'sik reisha hani mili b'midi d'nichale. It's not enough that you have a lo ich pasle situation. You need a nichale. If it's not a nichale, then Reb Shimon is not going to agree that you're chayev, even though you have a secretion, because it always remains a malacha shenetzricha legufa. And Tosfos mentions the sugya in Perek HaBone, and there it's a case of malacha shenetzricha legufa when he was mezarid zradim be ara de chavre. Since it's ara de chavre, it's lo ich pasle. Whatever benefits his friend has from the mezarid zradim doesn't in any way accrue any benefit for him, and therefore becomes a malacha shenetzricha leguf. Now it's interesting. Rashi himself in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis, in the case of Hotzas HaMess, Rashi says, where he's taking out the mess, we have no need for the mess outside. It's not like a case where I bring out food stuff and I need it on the outside of the Rishus HaYoch, I need it in Rishus HaRamim. Here, I just have to get it out. I can't tolerate the mess here. So Rashi says that Reb Shimon is poter. Why? Because it's a malacha shenet tzricha legufa. And Rashi adds, "V'chol malacha shein etzricha legufa." He says it's a chisaron in maleches machsheves. The ritzon lo bala v'lo tzarach lehilkoch lav maleches machsheves. See the Reb Shimon. So Rashi goes on record as saying that the chisaron of malacha shein etzricha legufa, according to Reb Shimon, is it's lacking in maleches machsheves. So that's the case where he doesn't need the mess outside, and yet Reb Shimon would say he's potter for this hotzah because it's ain't tzricha legufa, it's a chisar and a melech machsheves. Yet in the case of lo ich pasle with a psik reisha, there Rashi says that he be chayev. What happened to melech and tzricha legufa in that case of lo ich pasle, the chisar and a melech machsheves, because he doesn't need the melech itself? I'd like to suggest the following, that in Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, we have to ask two questions. Even before we enter into the question of Rabbi Yehuda says Yechayev, Rabbi Shimon says Yepater, let's just introduce Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa with the following two questions. Question number one is, does the Melacha benefit something? Is there an improvement that is generated by the malacha? And why do I say this? Because in the Gemara of Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, Rabbi Yehuda of Chofer Guma, V'eina Tzarech Liafra, which is the fourth source, he says, the Gemara talks about Omer Rab Abba, Chofer Guma, Daf Ayin Gimel Mid Beis, V'eina Tzarech El Liafra, Potter Ole. Says the Gemara, what about Rabbi Yehuda? He doesn't need the guma, he only needs the afar. So it's a malach shein tzricha legufa, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, he should be chayev. The Gemara says, nay, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, in this case of chofer guma, he'd be potter. Why? So the Gemara says, afil Rabbi Yehuda, the omer malach shein tzricha legufa, chayev alei, hani mili metaken. If he improves it, but hai, in this case of chofer guma, is mekalkel who. So the whole discussion and the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa assumes that the malacha that he did is beneficial. There's an improvement, there's a tikkun. Otherwise it comes under the patur of what? Mekalkel. Then I think we should ask a second question. Okay, the malacha is a tikkun, and Rabbi Shimon says, you're potter, because the malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. We should ask the following question. When I look at the tikkun of the malacha, and again, it has to be a tikkun, otherwise, less man de polig, even Rabbi Yehuda's moda that you potter. What is the nature of that tikkun in its relationship to the person who did the malacha? And here's where we distinguish between tzricha le and lo tzrichale. So again, Rabbosai, we're talking about an objective tikkun. The malacha is an improvement. But now let's ask a subjective question. The person who initiated, he implemented the malacha, is he motivated to do this malacha in order to gain that tikkun? And the answer is no. That's called eina tzricha legufa. But the question should be sharpened and clarified when we bring it down to the next level. Okay, he wasn't motivated to do this malacha for that tikkun, but did he gain anything from that tikkun? So in the case of malacha sheina tzricha legufa, where there is a tikkun, you could argue that since, and this is probably Reb Shimon's argument, that since he's not motivated to do the malacha for that goal, therefore, he gains nothing from it. This guma in the Gemara of Achofer Guma and Tzadi Gimel is completely meaningless for him. Again, it's a tikkun, otherwise even Reb Yehuda would be moda, because it's makalkil, but that tikkun is totally irrelevant. But let's answer the question in a different way. Supposing lo ichpas le, meaning as far as his motivation, why does he engage in this malacha? The answer is that tikkun doesn't motivate him. So Rashi says it still becomes a malacha tzricha leguf even according to Rav Shimon if he gains something from it. In the case of the guma, he gains nothing. He's interested in the offer. The guma does nothing for him. But let's say he would get some, let's call it hadna kolduhu, he would get some level of benefit from it. That would make it into a malach atzricha legufa because of the tikkun that's inherent in the malach itself. So Rav Osai, what I'm creating here is a two-directional vector, if you will. You know, there's the motivation of the person and the accomplishment in the object, the improvement in the object. And that's one direction. We start with his motivation. We ask us, what is he interested in? Would he have done this for the sake of that tikkun? And the answer is no. But then we can ask another question. Let's start backwards. Let's turn the direction the other way around. Let's start with the tikkun and the chefta and ask, although l'chatchila he wouldn't have been interested in that tikkun, but b'di'eved, once the tikkun is created, does he benefit from it? And that's what the Gemara means by chofer guma, according to Rav Shimon Yepatur, because he gains nothing, it doesn't add anything to him, by creating this guma. If it would add something to him, then since he knows that he's creating a guma, so there's no lack of kavana over here, and the guma itself is a tikkun, but moreover, not only is the guma a tikkun, but he gains something from that guma, notice the tikkun itself is meaningful for him, it would make it into a malach atzricha legufa. So Rashi's telling us that lo ichpas lei is a malacha hatzricha legufa. How could lo ichpas lei be a malacha hatzricha legufa? That's a paradox. He doesn't gain anything by it. Why would it be tzricha legufa? The answer is that Rashi doesn't ask the question, what motivates him? What interests him? Why did he get involved in this malacha? Rashi asks a different question. Can the malacha be beneficial for him? I'll give you a mashal of my dover dover. Let's say, for example, I had foodstuff, which is nechalcha. And he would inadvertently, he would create bishel. And let's say it was a psik resha that the machal would be misbashel. So you might argue, well, since he could have eaten it raw, and he's not interested right now in cooking it, he would be potur, even if it's a psik resha, according to Rav Shimon, because of malach shein tzricha legufa, potur. Correct? He doesn't need the bishul. It's nechal chai, and he can eat it raw. The answer is nay.
That would be a malach atzricha legufa according to Rashi. And Rav Shimon would be mod. Why? Because the fact that he could eat it raw does not undermine the tikkun. And that tikkun is objective, meaning anyone would admit that it's better to have the food cooked than to have it raw. In every mitzvah, we have to check that out. But I'm saying if the mitzvah checks out, and the answer is that we have, number one, a tikkun, because otherwise Rabbi Yehuda would say it's mekalkel, but number two, that tikkun benefits the person who did the malacha, even though, again, if you'd ask me the question, why did he do the malacha? It wasn't in order to achieve that tikkun, but once I look at the chefta, and the chefta's improved, and he gains something from that improval, from that improvement, that's enough to make it into a malach atzrich legufa. And even Rav Shimon would say yechai. And I think, Rabosai, that this is the yesod of the Tosis Rid. Take a look on the bottom of your page 1 in the Tosis Rid. Tosis Rid says the following. The Mishnah establishes Shmona Shratzim at the very beginning of Perek Shmona Shratzim Adaf Kuv Zayin on base, that with regard to Shmona Shratzim Hamurim B'Torah, even if he captures them Shalo Litzarech, he's Chayev. Says the Tosfos Rid, why is he Chayev? Kivan Shederech HaOlam Latsudan. These are Shratzim which people capture. Afal pisha hu einot tsarech lahem, malacha hi chashuva. It's considered a malacha tzricha legufa. V'eze tikri malacha she einot tzricha legufa. So what is the case in which this machlok between Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda? Kigon otzas hames shelo hayat tsarech lo v'lo kol ha'olam. The local olam tzrichim lo, she'ein tzorach lo olam the mess. Again, it's good to get the mess out of here, but to get it over to there doesn't do anybody any good. It's not like if you take food stuff out, and now that it's accessible to the ravim, there's an improvement that could be considered litzorech. But again, Rabosai, please pay attention that the Tosus Rid is not judging the sugya from the perspective of makalkel or mesaken. That's not what he's talking about. It's always considered a tikkun, even if no one gets any benefit from the mess being out in Rishus Arabim, but it's not a tikkun because it's not a kilkul because it's metakin the bias. Now says the Tosus Rid, you know what? It's a malach shein etzrich legufa to get the mess out of the bias. Why? Because no one needs the mess in the Rishus HaRabim. Avolim hotzi bigro geres ochlim. That's the shir of Hotzah. Afal pisha lo hayet zarech lahem. He didn't have any interest in taking these grogros out from Rishus Yochid to Rishus HaRabim. Chayav. It's not a malach shein etzrich legufa. Why? Because everyone would enjoy the benefits of this grogros being out in the Rishus HaYachid, the Rishus HaRabim. So let's just summarize. According to the Tosfos Rid, Malacha Shein Etzrich LeGufa means Eino Tzarech Lo V'lo L'chol HaOlam. Again, it's a Malachas Tikkun, but nobody needs that Tikkun. You can say in objective terms that there's no Tzrichuso at all. But let's say in the case of lo ichpasle, where there's nothing negative about it, he gains something, a little bit of hana he gets from it, the improvement is something that's beneficial for him, then even though he wasn't motivated to implement the malacha for the sake of that improvement, it becomes a malacha tzricha legufa. So I would ask you the following question, Rabosai, in the light of Shitas Rashi. The famous case of opening a refrigerator on Shabbos, and you know the light is going to go on. So it's a psik resha, and therefore it becomes a dovah shein mizkah. What about malacha shein tzrich legufa? I got plenty of light in my house. I didn't ask anybody to open the light in the fridge. But the answer is nein. If the light in the fridge is beneficial, even if I don't need it, that would be a case of lo ich pasle, where even Rav Shimon would agree that it's a wach shet tzricha legufa. What makes it tzricha legufa? The fact that there's some benefit. If it's tzorech ha'olam, and he gets some anah from it, despite the fact that lechatchila, he wouldn't be motivated to open the light. He feels he could be mistader without the light. But if the light adds something, you know, now he can tell the difference between one type of mayonnaise and the other. He's got two mayonnaise cans, you know, in the fridge. That itself would make it into tzricha legufa. So now, Rabosa, we have a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos about melacha shein tzricha legufa. According to Shitas at Tosfos, melacha shein tzricha legufa means that I don't need the melacha. I don't have any tzorich in the melacha and its tikkun. According to Rashi, no. I don't look at whether I need the tzorich or not. I look at the ultimate tikkun, the achievement through this melacha, and then I ask myself the following question. Does the gavra, do the osa ha-melacha gain anything through this tikkun? Rashi says, if he gains something, even though it's lo ich pasle, it's a melacha tzrich legufa. Tosa says nein. If it's lo ich pasle, it's a melacha shein tzrich legufa. And the case of tzad chilazim v'potzo is because the animal, when it dies, it's negative. He gets a hefsed instead of a benefit. That makes it a tain tzrich legufa. Whereas Rashi would say, if it's lo ich pasle, but there is a tikkun which he benefits from, if it's a tikkun that no one benefits from, that's a case of motzi mes, and Rav Shimon says you're potter because of locha sheina tikkun. Rabosa, on the second side of your page, we have a very important sugya on daf mem aleph amid beis. We're talking about a mecham. There's a very hot kli that was heating up water, and he wants to pour water in, cold water in, for one of two ways. If he pours a significant amount of water, cold water, into this mecham, so it's something called mitzarif. Mitzarif means it's the gemar meleches hakli. It strengthens the kli. So you have a hot utensil, you pour in lots of cold water, and that's called mitzarif. So Shmuel says, you're potter. Why? Because Shmuel holds a Rav Shimon that it's a davar sheina miskaven. He's interested in warming up the water a little bit, not heating it, otherwise that would be meleches mevashel, but he wants to take the chill out of the water. He's not at all interested in being mitzarif. So the Gemara asks the following question. You'll see this on top of your page 2. L'meimer de Shmuel k'Rav Shimon svirle? Could Rav Shimon actually accept? Could Shmuel actually accept Rav Shimon that davar sheina miskaven is mutter? V'amar Shmuel. Now watch how the Gemara posits this stira. Shmuel is talking about kibui. Meleches kibui. And the reason he's doing the kibui is to prevent himself or others around him from being damaged. And Shmuel makes the distinction between the material of this gacheles. If it's made of metal, gacheles shel mateches, so then there's no meleches kibui. Because meleches, remember I both said, we discussed last week, what is meleches kibui, Rashi and Tosfos? To create a pechom, right? So pechom is only in the case of eitz. Okay, good. Now, I have this gacheles shel eitz, and I want to extinguish it, because otherwise people around us will get damaged, will get hurt, and I'm creating a pechom. So it's kibui, but what kind of kibui is it? Why is he doing the kibui? Does he need the pechom? No. Kidei shalo yizuku rab. That's a melacha shein tzricha legufa. And Shmuel says, yechayev. what's it got to do with our discussion about the case of Mitzarif? The case of Mitzarif was a Davar Shein HaMiskavin. And Shmuel holds, like Rav Shimon, that Davar Shein HaMiskavin is Mutter.
Like a Tziruv, since there's a Hana, so they're turning it into a Malacha Shein HaTzrita LaGufa. Meaning, even though it was Davar Shein HaMiskavin, these are the Ahavamina of the Gemara's Kasha, is that since there's Hana, it would be a Malacha Shein HaTzrita LaGufa, not a Davar Shein HaMiskavin.
It could be that's one way of going, but what I want to show you is the Tosa Rosh. Again, let's look at the Tosa Rosh inside. It's the second source on your page. Tema. Hecha v'salka daitoch, the Dover Shein of Iskavin, havi kimalocha shein etzricha legufa, the ma'inyon zelaze, trei taimi ninu, v'lo shaychi, la'adadi, kla. The Gemara assumes that since Shmuel accepts Rabbi Yehuda in Malacha Shein Yitzrich Lagufa Chayo, he cannot maintain Reb Shimon in Davar Shein Miskamen. And if he maintains Reb Shimon in Davar Shein Miskamen, then he cannot hold Malacha Shein Yitzrich Lagufa Chayo like Rabbi Yehuda. Fact the Rosh, what's the deal over here? Trey timing in who? These are two totally independent issues. One is halacha and kavana, and the other halacha is in tzricha legufa. Just because Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel Paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda, took a stand that I don't need tzricha legufa, what does that have to do with Davar Shein HaMiskavin? And the answer to the Rosh is very cryptic. He says, V'tzarech lefarish, davi mashma leil talmuda, dechi hechi demechayev Shmuel b'yena tzricha legufa, kitzricha legufa, hachinami yesh lo lechayev Davar Shein HaMiskavin, ki miskavin? But I mean, that, you know, you just went all the way back to your question. You didn't make any progress. This was gufa the question, trei taimi v'lo shaych la'adodi klal. Look at the Magid Mishnah's language. And by the way, the Magid Mishnah at the beginning of Hilchas Shabbos is talking Lamaskana. We've been focusing on the Havamin of the Gemara. In the Havamin of the Gemara creates an interdependence between Davar Shein HaMiskavin and Malacha Shein HaTzricha LaGufa. But Lamaskana, the Gemara says, Nein. The Gemara says, get back to the Gemara's language. B'davar Shein HaMiskavin, Savrala, Kirev Shimon. B'lach Shein HaTzrich LeGufa, Savrala, Kirev Yehuda. But look at the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah says, Yesh li sad l'svarazu, v'pnei shiyadua, demanda mechayev Davar Shein HaMiskavin, kol shkein, shiyachayev b'lach Shein HaTzrich LeGufa. The Magid Mishnah, who's presenting the Yesodos of Hilchas Shabbos, tells us that if I hold Davar Shein HaMiskavin is Chayev, then surely Malacha Shein HaTzrich LeGufa is Chayev. In other words, according to the Magid Mishnah, even Lamaskanas HaSugya and Membeis, we still accept the Tlut, as we call it in Hebrew, the interdependence of these two halachos. Just the Magid Mishnah says in the reverse, it's not true. Lehepach, he says, Uman de pota Davar Shein HaMiskavin, Eino hechrech she yiftar Malacha Shein HaTzrich LeGufa. Now, it's even if I hold Malacha Shein HaTzrich LeGufa Chayav, I can still say that Davar Shein HaMiskavin is potter. But if I hold Davar Shein HaMiskavin is Chayav, then for sure I'm Chayav in Malacha Shein HaTzrich LeGufa. So at least 50% of the way the Magid Mishnah takes us, that there is a tflut between Davar Shein HaMiskavin and Malacha Shein HaTzrich LeGufa. Once I'm Mechayev in Davar Shein HaMiskavin, ipso facto I have to be Mechayev in Malacha Shein HaTzrich LeGufa. And the question is why? Of course, the Magid Mishnah is not a stira to our sugya. Our sugya says that Shmuel could hold Davar Shein HaMiskavin is potter, is mutter, like Rav Shimon, but he could still be Mechayev in Malacha Shein HaTzrich LeGufa. And that's the case of Gachel HaShaletz. But if I want to turn it the other way around, and I want to hold like Rabbi Yehuda and Dov Shein Miskaven, then he says with the Kol Shein I'll be chayav in Melach Shein Tzich L'Gufa. I'm not free completely, even Lamaskana. I'm still tied down, according to Magen Mishnah. Once I'm committed to Dov Shein Miskaven chayav, then I certainly am committed to Melach Shein Tzich L'Gufa chayav. Why? These are two separate issues. One is an issue of kavana, the other is issue is tzrichel gufa. I have full-fledged kavana here, chofer guma. I have intention to create a guma. What do I need it for? That's a different question. But why do I have to say that just because davar shein miskaven is chayov, therefore malach shein tzrichel gufa is chayov with the kal v'chomer? Maybe malach shein tzrichel gufa is potum because I don't have any tzorich for the malacha. And even more radical, more sensational, is the Havamin of the Gemara. That the Havamin of the Gemara is that if Shmuel holds Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter, then for sure Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is mutter. Why? So Arbosa, I want to show you a sugya Masech Tesukah and the Me'iri in Masech Tesukah. The Me'iri is very short winded, very abridged, but I think if we're medayik in his lashon, we can come up with a sensational understanding of what Davar Shein Miskaven is all about. The case over there is when he's removing the berries from a hadas. The halacha is that if you have more berries on the hadas than you have leaves, it's possible. And he's interested in the berries. He's not interested in being machshir the hadas. Because to be machshir hadas is called meleches makim bepatish tikun mon. So the Gemara says that it all depends on Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda ben Davar she'eino miskaven. And the Gemara says, but lechora even Reb Shimon would be moda because the very moment he takes off the berries, he's mamayit the anovim, then ipso facto he's machshir the hadas with the psik reisha is moder of shim psik reisha. So Gemara answers the islay hoshana achrita. He has another set of dalet minim, whether it's hadas or hoshana, and therefore he doesn't have any benefit from this hechsher of the hadas. But I wanted to show you something interesting in the Me'iri. The Masechta Sukkah, this is the Me'iri on Shabbos, the Perek Lulav, meaning Lulav HaGozel, Omru, Hadash HaNonim Rubam Olav, Me'olav is Pasol, Mi'atan Kosher, that V'yei Mematin B'yant, Mishum Rab Lozab Rab Shimon Omru Mematin, V'hikshu Olav HaKamitaki Mona, and the Gemara answers, Hochma Eskinon, B'shalikton La'achila, no, this Einam is Kavin. So the Gemara asks, well, what about Sikresha? And the Gemara says, Islay Oshata Achrita. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, would say that even though it's Islay Oshata Achrita, nevertheless he's Chayav because Dover Shein Miskaven is Chayav. So even though he's interested in the Anovim in order to eat them, he's going to put these berries on his table, but nevertheless, he's being Machshir, the Kli, that's Tikkun Mona, the Hadas, and therefore, Davar Shein Miskaven is Chayav. So the Me'iri says something interesting. Hatam, Sherev Yehuda, and please listen carefully to the language of the Me'iri, Ose, She'eno Miskaven, Kimiskaven. Vahare Hu, Kimiskaven Lahakshir, I added the word Hadas. Meaning, there's a new halacha according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Me'iri postulates. That Eino Miskaven is Kimiskaven. Meaning, if he's aware of what the results of his actions are, meaning he has Yediyah, that's enough to create Kavana. Kavana usually means, well, I'm interested in this and I'm not interested in that, X and not Y. But the answer is no. Rabbi Yehuda holds that let's look at the Gufa Malacha. No, we forced him to do the malacha. It wasn't Ba'ones, Balkarcho. And therefore, Eino Miskaven is Kimiskaven. Is Memela Rabosai? If that be the case, then perhaps we can understand the underlying kasha, the svara, the makshon, in the sugya on Daf Mem Beis. The Gemara says that if you hold Dover She'enu Miskaven is mutter, like Rav Shimon, and that's Shmuel Shita. In the case of Mitzarev, it means that Shmuel, like Rav Shimon, rejects Eino Miskaven Kim Miskaven Dover. This new halacha, that the absence of Kavana is considered Kim Miskaven. Oh no, Rav Shimon is not willing to go that way, and Shmuel accepts Rav Shimon. Frek the Gemara, but wait a second. If you had the halacha of Eino Miskaven Kim Miskaven, then you would apply the same yardstick to Eino Tzricha Legufa Kim Tzricha Legufa. And therefore the Gemara says the following, Mimanafshach, either you accept this new halacha or you don't. If you accept this halacha of Eino Miskaven Kim Miskaven, then be consistent and apply it to Eino Tzricha Legufa Kim Tzricha Legufa. If on the other hand you hold that in the case of Eino Miskaven is mutter like Rav Shimon because it's not Kim Miskaven, then there's no reason to say that Eino Miskaven, that Eino Tzricha is Kitzricha. Rabosai, the Gemara in the Havamina then is operating with a very radical chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda also holds that you need a malach atzricha leguf. Rabbi Yehuda never denied the fundamental premise that a malacha has to be tzricha legufa. But rather, Rabbi Yehuda was operating with a new halacha of eina tzricha kitzricha dami. Meaning, we ask ourselves a different question. Is the malacha something which he did? And if he did it, then he's considered a miskaven and a tzricha legufa. We look at the guf ha-malacha. And if the guf ha-malacha is with an Eino Miskaven, it's Kimiskaven Domi. If it's an Eino Tzricha Legufa, it's Kitzricha Legufa Domi. And if that be the case, the Gemara says, Shmuel is involved in a stira. He cannot be free to maintain that Eino Miskaven is Patur, or Mutter, and at the same time, to say that Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayav. Because even accepting Rabbi Yehuda, Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa involves a new halacha of Eina Tzricha Kitzricha. We look at the Guf HaMalacha. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that we need Tzricha Legufa. But if the Guf HaMalacha is something that he implemented, that's called Tzricha Legufa. The fact that he made an intelligent decision to implement the Malacha means he needs the Malacha. We don't care why he needs the Malacha. We're not going to do a psychological analysis of his motivation. He did the Malacha. He wants the Malacha. It's as if he needs the malacha. That desire to implement the ma'aseh malacha and the gufa malacha itself is koveya, the tzricha legufa. And the same svara says the Gemara should apply in Dover She'enu Miskaven. Shmuel, if you accept Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha she'enu tzricha legufa is a malacha tzricha legufa, then a Dover She'enu Miskaven is also a Dovra Miskaven. And the Meiri's language here is very brilliant. Eina Miskaven, Kim Miskaven Domi. Is Memele Rabosai. We understand the Havamin of the Gemara. Now let's understand the Maskonis HaGemara. The Maskonis HaGemara is, according to the Magid Mishnah, a one-way ticket. Let's read the Magid Mishnah again. Says the Magid Mishnah, that even the Maskonis HaGemara, these two issues of Dover She'enu Miskaven and Malach She'enu Tzricha Legufa are related one to the other. And you can pater a Dover She'enu Miskaven and still say that you're chayev for Malach She'enu Tzricha Legufa. It means that Lamaskana, according to the Magid Mishnah, there is no way of establishing that because Eino Miskaven remains in Eino Miskaven, therefore Eino Tzricha Legufa remains in Eino Tzricha Legufa. In other words, Lamaskonas HaSugya, Rabbi Yehuda's Machadish and New Halacha, that there is no requirement of Tzricha Legufa. In the Havamina, the Gemara thinks, Rabbi Yehuda accepts that I need a Tzricha Legufa. But the Dover She'enu Miskaven Kim Miskaven Domi makes the Eina Tzricha Legufa into Tzricha Legufa. L'maskonas HaGemara, no. Rabbi Yehuda rejects the entire halacha of Malacha She'enu Tzricha Legufa. There is no such halacha v'ein tzrich l'gufa. I need kavana in order to be chayev, but I don't need tzrich l'gufa in order to be chayev.
But don't, at the end of the day, isn't the maskana really like the Magen Mishnah? It's just that there's a hircha between Davarshein and Miskavin and Malach Hashem and Tzuri Lagufa, in that he doesn't necessarily have Yediyah in Davarshein and Miskavin. But even Rabbi Shimon is afraid that when he has Yediyah, when it's Segresha, that he's Chayev. So really we say Ein Miskavin can Miskavin Dami. It's just the difference is he doesn't know.
Correct. You could say that Ein Miskavin is Kemiskavin Dami in the Havamina, but in the Maskana, if you're going to go that far and say Ein Miskavin Kemiskavin Dami, then you should say Ein Tzricha L'Gufa Kitzricha L'Gufa Dami. And how is it that the Gemara is saying that, according to the Magid Mishnah, the Maskana, I might say that you're potter for Dami Shein Miskavin, and yet you're Chayef from Lach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa? It means that even though I accept Reb Shimon that Ein Miskavin is not Kimiskavin Dami, that the Chisar and Kavan is enough to patter me up, but I'm not willing to say that there's a new p'tur of Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa. That I'm not willing to accept. And take a look at the Ran in Chidushim Aran. The Gemara, if you remember back in Sarchi Lozon, says that there it's different. He's not Chayev from Aleches Netilas Neshama, because he wants the chilazon to stay alive. It's detrimental for him if the animal dies. Says the Ran, in the name of the Ramban, Kaven dono lo nichale v'kashale b'misaso, since it's difficult for him, and it's detrimental to him when the animal dies, is afilu Rabbi Yehuda mode b'ha, this would be beautiful if we hold that there is an interdependence between Eino Miskavin, the way the Meiri defines it, and Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Rabbi Yehuda holds in Dover Shein Miskavin Yechayev because it's Kimiskavin Dami, says the Meiri. No, let's apply the same yardstick to Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa, it's Kitzricha L'Gufa Dami. But Rabbi Yehuda basically accepts the concept of the Ptur of Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa. In what case does it come of Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa? When it's Lonichale. When it's Kashale. When it works against his interest. You could say Ein Miskavin Kimiskavin Dami in a neutral situation. You could say Ein Tzricha L'Gufa Kitzricha L'Gufa if he doesn't lose anything by it. But once he loses something, then it's a malacha she'enel tzricha l'gufa, period. And even Rabbi Yehuda would agree in such a case that you are potter. And if you look in the Chidush HaRamban, he himself writes in the Sugi of Tzad Chilazon, Li Nira, Dil Rabbi Yehuda, Nami Misasik Potter, Da Kashele, V'lo Es Avida Machshavto. When do you have the right to say, Lo Tzricha Le, is Tzrichale? That's only if at least it fulfills his wish. But if he's trying hard to avoid that repercussion, that end result, he's doing everything that he can to keep the animal alive, then Kaved Lo Esavid Machshavto, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, you cannot in that case convert it into a Malacha Tzricha L'Gufa. And if it remains Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, even Rabbi Yehuda says you're potter. Rabosai, we've been assuming until this point that Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is potter, according to Reb Shimon, for one of two reasons. And we discussed this at great length last time. Either it's a Chisaron and Malachas Machsheves, as Rashi says it, and the Gemara Chagig on Daf Yud says it, or as Tosus would have it on Tzadi Dalid, it's Eino Dumya de Mishkan, because the Mishkan defines the Cheftz of the Malacha, and he's not doing the Malacha on that Cheftz. But Rabosai, I think that there's a third possibility. And that is that Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is not a brand new halacha. It's not a new halacha of Chisar Malach Smach Sheves, Ein Adumya D'Mishkan. It's an old, old halacha. And that is that every malacha has to have a tikkun to it. If a malacha is without a tikkun, it's called what? Mekalkel. Is Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is a miktas makalkel. The fact that I don't need it makes it into a chisaron tikkun. There is no tikkun. And Rabbosai, what moves me to this pretty radical position? There's a Magen Avraham. The question is the following. Could it be, we know that with regard to Mekalkel, that Mekalkel is mutal chatchila, even though it's potter avlosser, in a case of Onig Shabbos. And if you take a look at Rashi on Daf Kuf Mem Vav, which is the last source on your page 2, Rashi says, Shover Adam Chavis. Did I have it? Did I mention the right one?
Yes.
Okay. So he says that you're allowed to break this Chavis in order to get to the food. And why? Because it's Mekalkel. The Eimbo Shum Isur Shabbos. Ubilvad. Shlo Yiskavim Lasos Kli. Okay, so he can't break it in such a way that he's creating a new kli. But if he's not creating a new kli, it's pure Mekalkel. And even though Mekalkel is part of a lasser, but for the purpose of owning Shabbos, it's mut. Comes along the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Yud Dalet. It's the next to last source on your page. And he writes in the name of Tosefta, Korea Odom Es Ha'or, etc., etc. Now the case of Korea is a classical case of a malacha shenetzricha legufa. So I don't know, is the Magen Avraham saying that a malacha shenetzricha legufa is mutal chatchila mishum onik Shabbos? I'm confused about it. But if you turn to the third page, look at Tosfos in Masechta Sukkah. And Tosfos, again, there's a long Tosfos which you don't have time for, but the punchline for our purposes is Tosfos says, with regard to Malach Hashem Tzricha Legufa, in the case where he takes off the Anovim and he's Machshir the Hadas, but he has a Hoshata Achritos, he has no Tzorach to be Machshir the Hadas, Tosfos says, but it's potter avlosa. Even if we accept Reb Shimon in Malach Shein Tzrich Legufa, can we be matter it lechatchila? His Tosfos says Hacha Shari Mishum Mitzvah. He needs the Anovim. It's going to enhance his Simchas Yontif, and Mishum Mitzvah, we're going to allow him to get involved in Malach Shein Tzrich Legufa. How could that be? Stoch Rabosai from the Magen Avraham. And from this Tosfos in Sukkah, I present the following chiddush, that Malach Hashem Tzricha Leguf is not Potter Avalasar, period. It's usually Potter Avalasar, but for the sake of a mitzvah, for the sake of owning Shabbos or owning Yontif, it would be Mutal Chatchila. How could that be? Where do we find a Ptur of Malachas Machsheves? Or Ein Adumya de Mishkan, which is Mutal Litzach Mitzvah Litzach Onik Shabbos? The answer is in Malach Shein Tzrich Legufa and in Mekalkel. Mekalkel is the Av, and Malach Shein Tzrich Legufa is the Tolda. It means that in the case of Mekalkel, it's Lav Malacha Klal. The Rabbanon made a new Malacha out of something that's really not a Malacha. And therefore, they were Mekil in the case of Tzorch Mitzvah, the Tzorch for Onik Shabbos. Yitzchak Rabosai, what we're suggesting here is a third definition of Malach Shein Tzrich Legufa. We don't have to say it's a Ptur of Malach Machsheves, the way Rashi has it. We don't have to say it's a Ptur of Ein Dumya de Mishka, the way Tosfos has it. We could suggest that it's Dumya de Mekalkel. For the fact that I don't have any benefit from this Tikkun, for me it's a Kilkul. Not really a kilkul, but it's ke'ein kilkul. And therefore, if it's not a malacha klal, then even when they're abundant acid it, they acid it in the same way that they acid makalkel, which is ain't a malacha klal, and therefore they were matir it with tzorech onig Shabbos, with tzorech mitzvah. Rabbosai, we have 10 minutes left. And I have a lot more to discuss with you about Tosfos and Yuma, but I'd like to take that 10 minutes to discuss an issue that might be relevant, not this Friday, but next Friday. And that is Poreis Mapu Mekadesh. Let me introduce my discussion with the following. The Achronim are very curious about a Chiddush of the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Havdalah. which you'll see here in the middle of your page 3. The Magen Avraham writes that, let's say, Ploni Almoni recites Havdalah, and of course he recites Baruch Pi Hagafen before Baruch HaMavdil, etc. And I'm sitting in the audience, I didn't hear the Baruch Pi Hagafen. It's literally Maisim B'chol Yom, B'chol Motzi Shabbos. Right? And what happens? So the Magen Avraham says, Yotze Yidei Chovos. And the Achronim learn from this Magen Avraham that Borei Pri Hagafen is not essential to the mitzvah of Havdalah, and by analogy, not essential to the mitzvah of Kiddush. My Rebbe used to tell us, I must have heard it from him a dozen times, in the name of Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim held that Borei Pri Hagafen is essential to Kiddush. And if you did not hear the bracha Borei Pri Hagafen, if you omitted the bracha, is lo yatzi yedei chovos.
Kiddush Hayom, what else is there?
But Reb Chaim went a step further. Not only Kiddush Hayom, but Reb Chaim said that even Kiddush Halayla requires Borei Pri Hagafen. The only difference Reb Chaim understood between Kiddush Hayom and Kiddush Halayla is that at night we add another bracha, a Birchas HaShevach on Kedusha Shabbos, but we don't drop the Birchas Baruch Pri Hagafen as an essential part of Kiddush. And therefore, Reb Chaim used to paskin Hora L'maisa, that if you did not have Kavanah, you did not hear the bracha of Baruch Pri Hagafen at night, even though you heard the Mekadesh HaShabbos, you weren't Yotze. And by the way, there are indications in the Shulchan Aruch that he also accepts that yisod in the case of Nishpach. We're not going to get into that now, but Tzarech B'dika. So Reb Chaim said the following, Adarabba, the Magen Avraham is a support to my position. In the case of Havdalah, the Kos Yayin and the Baruch Pri Hagafen is just a classical case of a Koshel Bracha. And it's not Likuva, it's not integral to the mitzvah of Havdalah. But the Magen Avraham never said a word about Kiddush. So the contrary is true. The Magen Avraham apparently would agree that although in Havdalah the bracha is not essential, but in the case of Kiddush, the bracha itself is absolutely essential. But l'chora, from next Friday night, we have a shtark aray against Reb Chaim. For those of you who might be doing Poris Mapa Kaddish, I don't know, is anyone here who's going to plan to do that thing? Nobody. Okay.
Most people don't plan it.
If it just happens, I hope you get the Mapa, you know what I'm saying? You know, we get to the whole Sugi Ksumas about the Mapa, about Priestess Mapa. Okay, that was a bad joke. Okay. In any event, here's my question to you. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Reish Ayin Aleph, which is the Simon of Kiddush, that Im Hayu Shosin Yayim Itchil, Friday afternoon, we were having a wine and cheese party. And now, Chashecha, now it's time to recite Kiddush. Eino Omer Ela Kiddush Bilvad, below Birchas Hayayin. The Achakach, then after he recites Kiddush, he sits down and he eats his meal. He's Mevarech HaMotzi Lechem Menoretz, Mekayim of the Mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah, and he eats his meal. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, clearly, Borei Pri Hagafen is nothing more than what, Rabosai? Birchas Hanenim. If I already recited Borei Pri Hagafen Mibod Yom in the course of my meal, there's no need to repeat it in Kiddush. It's against Reb Chaim. And my Rebbe used to always say that whenever they quoted a Shulchan Aruch against Reb Chaim, he used to always reinterpret the Shulchan Aruch. that was Reb Chaim, you know. He even though, okay, so whatever, I won't make that comment because in this Olam, I don't know, you'll get upset about it. But no, you won't. Reb Chaim could argue on the Shulchan Aruch. I'm just saying, but. But 99% of the time, Reb Chaim would not argue on the Shulchan Aruch. He would just reinterpret the Shulchan Aruch. You know, Reb Chaim had his way of fitting everything into the language of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the famous case, of course, of chole she'ein bo sakana, who will become a chole she'ein bo sakana if he doesn't eat. And the Shulchan Aruch says that machil also kal, and that's against Reb Chaim, but they're also Reb Chaim fitted into the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Rabosai, there's no stira between the Shulchan Aruch and Reb Chaim. I'll tell you why. Reb Chaim never said that borei priah gofen is an essential part of kiddush. Reb Chaim said that I need the borei priah gofen in order to be koveya my suda al yayin. The essence of kiddush is to be koveya a suda shabbos al yayin. That kviya suda requires borei priah gofen. You can't be koveya suda al yayin without borei priah gofen. But lu yitzur, you could be koveya suda al yayin without reciting borei priah gofen. Then even Reb Chaim would agree, I don't need borei priah gofen. And then afkamina is going to be when I started my meal mibojom and I drank yayin and I was mevarech borei priah gofen. There's no need for borei priah gofen now. The Leil Shabbos, all I need is to be koveya my sudal yayin, bring out another cup of yayin, drink the yayin, and then recite the second bracha, which is the Birchas HaShevach on the Kedushas HaYom. And Rabbosai, where do we see the Kiddush? Let's find a precedent that the yayin of Kiddush is necessary in order to be koveya the suda. And I think the source is the Rambam. Because the Rambam writes, within the context of being koveya three sudas a day, famous Rambam, Perek Lamed Aluchates, says the Rambam, Tzorach l'kvoa kol sudaso, kol suda mishlosh tarala yayin. Even Shalosh Sudas requires yayin. So here we have a Gansa Plugta, the Tur versus the Beis Yosef. Let's look at the Tur. The Tur understood, Kosem a Rambam de gam besuda shlishis kovei al yayin. Omar Adoni a roshzal shloim avarich al yayin. He didn't recite a brach al yayin at shalosh shudas. Why not? Because of kiddush. Kiddush has a hekesh between yom v'layla. Just like v'layla, we only make one kiddush. So too by day, we only wait one kiddush. Is Rabbosai, what do you see from the tour? And the Rosh. How did they understand the Rambam? Correct. Excuse me. The only reason that the Rosh disagrees with the Rambam is because of the scope of the Chiyuv Kiddush. The scope of the Chiyuv Kiddush is once by night and once by day. That's the Hekesh. The Rambam apparently went a step further. And the Rambam held that Kiddush is engendered by a Suda Shabbos. Whenever you chayev to establish a Suda Shabbos, you need Kiddush. And how do you establish a Suda Shabbos through Kiddush? Through Borei Priah Gofen and Shtiyas Yayin. The Yayin itself sets up the meal as a Suda Shabbos. And Rabbosai, what happens if I don't have Yayin? I use pas. Hamotzi. Pas itself is also a method of kviya suda. Lechatchila, the Gemara says that in Pesachim, in the last parak, that Zimnin, Rav, sometimes we prefer Yayin, sometimes pas. But the additional advantage of Yayin is because Birchas HaYayin is a Shevach Lodoya, Ein Shira, El Al HaYayin. That's Haluch that we learn from Niskei HaYayin in Beis HaMikdash. But leaving that out, in essence, I have to be koveya suda Shabbos. I'm koveya suda Shabbos in one of two ways: through yayin or through amotzi lechem in haaretz.
Does the machaber require you to have another one after you make personal mikdash?
Yeah, absolutely. Because otherwise, where's the kiddush?
But he only says bavka for berachas amotzi. He stops at
berachas. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, berachas amotzi is fine. You know, he feels that in this case, you know, you've already made your bar priah gofen. You don't have to drink yayin. You could eat pas.
You don't take kiddush with pas.
But you could be alternatively, you could be otzi kiddush with yayin. But that would require bringing out yayin specifically for the suda Shabbos. You don't need a bar priah gofen because you could be koveya your suda al yayin without the bar priah gofen, but you need yayin to be koveya suda al yayin. And Rabbosai, I want to leave you with the following insight, perhaps. What happens Lu Yitzuyer. Again, this is a wild case. Let's say I start a Suda Shabbos at night, and I would continue my Suda Shabbos through the night, make it a Mishmar Friday night, and it's time for Kiddush in the day. What would I need? I don't need a Bor Pri Hagof. I need Shtiyas Yayin. I could be Koveya the Suda La Yayin. I already have the Bor Pri Hagof and the Torah Birchat Hanenim. By virtue of the Bor Pri Hagof I recited at night, Ella, what? I have to be Koveya my Suda. Two options. I could be Koveya my Suda La Yayin, bring out Yayin for the Suda, or I could be Koveya my Suda La Pas.
Is it according to the Rush?
Well, the Rush is only disagreeing because of the third Suda. He holds that there's no need
by day. You still need by day. He says you still iskish laila the yom, so you still need a kiddush to be done by day.
Correct. The kiddush to be done by day could be established by the Shtiyas Yayin. The Shtiyas Yayin itself is the Kiddush. The Bor Pri Hagofen is only a means to allow me to drink the wine. If I don't need that means, then I just want to leave you with one last thought, and that is that the Kesef Mishnah himself refuses to understand the Rambam the way we understand the Rambam. And again, he knows the Torah, he knows Rabbeinu Yonah, he knows the Meiri, he knows the Ritva. All the Rishonim understood that according to the Rambam, there's a Chiv Kiddush three times during Shabbos, and then the third time, like the second time, you Koveya the Sudal Yayin. But the Kesef Mishnah wants to say that this is halacha in Oneg Shabbos, in Gimel Sudos. It's not halacha in Kiddush at all. But again, as we saw, and if you get a chance to look in the Rishonim, they all understood Peh Echad, that according to the Rambam, just like I have to be Mekayim Kiddush by being Koveya my Suda once at night and twice in the morning on Yayin, or alternatively Pas, the same halacha of Kiddush applies for the third suit. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. Well, those who are listening, they don't have to be actually drink the wine. What they need is to hear the Bor Pri Hagofen, and that itself, since they have the ability now to drink wine, that's enough. You understand? Because we're all together in one Kviya Suda. I recite Kiddush on your behalf. You listen, and then together we will Koveya Suda Layayin. Who actually drinks the wine is totally irrelevant.
So it should be enough.
Secondary.
It should be enough lechor na'akeis then if you are drinking wine from before Shabbos just to make a mekadesh Shabbos and sit down and not even drink the wine because you've got the ability to drink wine as well.
Okay, maybe you're right. I don't know if it's wine. But the only problem I have is in the case where we're all sitting around and I make the kiddush and you drink the wine or I drink the wine and he doesn't drink the wine, there we would koveya the suda layayin. That yayin was brought specifically for Suda Shabbos. In the case where you drank wine beforehand, there's no kviya suda on the yayin. You know, you have to bring out the yayin. So I don't know if you have to drink the yayin, but at least to bring out the yayin specifically for the Suda Shabbos.
That's a Tomah Gomeitik, by the way.
Oh, I don't know about a Tomah Gomeitik. That's a different shit.
How long do this?
No, but I'm saying if you bring it out, you have to bring it out.